Good morning. How's everyone today? I have a couple announcements I'd like to share with everyone. As most of you already are aware, we had a funeral yesterday for Gregory Dane, so we want to certainly keep Curtis and Martha in our prayers. Also, our sweet little Virginia Morton passed away this past week on Wednesday night, so we want to keep her in our prayers. The family is planning on having a memorial service in a couple of weeks, so we'll kind of look forward to that. So that way we're aware of that. We're very blessed this morning. We have Pastor Chris Totsky in our midst. According to her official title, she is the Bishop's Associate for Leadership Formation and Congregational Care. So she is going to do our service this morning and preach to us. And then instead of us having Sunday morning Bible study, we're going to have a little Q&A with her in the fellowship hall. So you have any questions or anything about us moving forward or what you'd like to see in a pastor, Pastor Chris is the person to bring those issues to, okay? So she's going to help us get through this process, and she's going to find us another great pastor, and we're going to move forward like we always do. On another little note, anyone who would like to today when you leave, you're welcome to take an Easter lily with you, okay? Anyone have anything else? If not, Pastor Chris will lead us in the confession and forgiveness.
God of... Whoa. I am here. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection. Yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from all evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to living in your holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for salvation, let us pray to the Lord. The peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading for this second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord. We will now intone the psalm as printed in your bulletin.
How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing upon
the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Second reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, then we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have lost track of how many people over my 25 plus years of ministry have felt the need to show me their sores, their bruises, their incisions. It was burned into my brain when I was in my second call many, many years ago, visiting a woman who was homebound, who wanted to drop her pants so she could show me her oozing sore. And I was like, no, that's okay. I don't need to see it. And for some reason, people seem to think I want to hear about every bodily function too, all of the details. It's interesting the things you hear and experience when you are visiting people as a pastor. But I think I understand why. You see, when they go to see their doctor, all they get is the medical insight. The stuff that they don't necessarily understand. They're not getting a real personal touch. Some doctors are better at that than others, but it's different. And from their family members, they probably get no sympathy at all because those family members have been hearing it for so long and so often. What they want from me as a pastor is understanding. They want me to know that their physical suffering is directly related to their spiritual feelings, their needs, their pain. So by inviting me into that most intimate time for them, the most intimate of their physical wounds, they're inviting me to enter into their spiritual pain. They want me to connect with them on a level that most people don't. And honestly, for some, their wounds are like their trophies. They're showing me how much they've survived and how much they can endure. It's validation for them when I acknowledge that their suffering is real. They're saying, "Can you hear my story? Do you believe that I'm not just complaining? See, this is proof, this oozing sore on my butt. This is proof." And it makes me wonder, too, about the wounds that I can't see, the scars that are deep within. Because those people who are showing me their physical wounds, They're saying that if I could trust you with this, maybe I can show you the scars that are deeper. Those are the wounds that are more difficult to let people see. It's one thing to let people see what's on the outside, but the ones that are inside, the ones in our heart, the ones in our soul, those are so deeply intimate and personal. It's hard to trust somebody sometimes to see into your soul, to trust them enough to make yourself vulnerable. Think of all this when I think of the story of Jesus and Thomas. And it makes me wonder, was Jesus showing his wounds to Thomas for Thomas or for himself or both? Was it about proving to Thomas that he was Jesus and that he was risen from the dead and that he had been through all that stuff? Or was he showing Thomas that he trusted him? Both were equally important. I also find myself sometimes wondering, and maybe some of you have too, if God was able to raise him up from the dead, why didn't God fix him up? Make him like he was. Take away the holes of the nails. Make him completely whole and healed. Why the wounds? Well, I'll tell you, the wounds are probably the most important part. The wounds are for Thomas because he needed to know, like we all need to know, that Jesus' wounds and suffering were real for us. We need to be able to see and touch and enter into those wounds with our own pain and our own fear and our own vulnerability. Sign language for Jesus. The sign language, if you know, any of you know sign language, is you take your middle finger and you put it into the palm of each hand. That's how Jesus is recognized in that language, by the wounds in his hands. Yesterday I was with the women's retreat in the Dallas area, Metro North, up in Rejoice in Frisco. And they sang a song where they were doing the signs for Jesus and God. That's internationally known, those signs for Jesus. Jesus is represented by his wounds. And when we do that, we're also entering into his wounds as Thomas did. By inviting Thomas to place his hands in the holes in his hands and into his side, he was inviting Thomas to enter into his spirit, to connect with him on a level that most people would never have an opportunity to. He was inviting him to see and believe and feel that the suffering that Jesus went through was real for him. And the love that he gave him was true. So often, Thomas gets a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. But that might not be the best way to describe him. He was Thomas who wanted to really understand what happened to Jesus and why. That's easier to say, Doubting Thomas. Thomas is a good example of why we need the Sunday after Easter as much as we need the Easter celebration itself. But you know, I look out here and I see a pretty small crowd compared to what you had last week, right? Because most people don't think they need that. They think they only needed Easter Sunday. They don't experience this aha moment of Thomas. You see, Thomas got it. He understood the meaning, the depth of that meaning of the whole story, and he knew what it meant for him personally because he was personally invited to experience it himself. There's power in that woundedness of our Savior. There's power in the woundedness of the witnesses who are hiding away, and there's a connection that's made as we enter into each other's stories and souls with that love of Christ. You see, we all have our own woundedness. By inviting Thomas to enter into his wounds, Jesus invites all of us to enter there too, to place ourselves into his pain, to use our pain to connect and understand his love to feel the power of his healing. And that's something that unites us all, everywhere. For you here at Good Shepherd right now, you're kind of in that early stages of still trying to process a new wound. Your pastor's leaving. The farewell was just last night. He had a funeral yesterday. It probably doesn't feel too terribly real yet. I could just be a pastor filling in while he's on vacation today. Even though you know that he's done. He's going to a new place where God is calling him to serve. And you will not be alone. But it's going to take you some time to process all of that. And my job now is to accompany you through that time. To enter into your woundedness with you. To be a part of your healing and growth. And to figure out the next steps for you. That's where we need that rest of that part of the gospel reading. When Jesus said repeatedly, "Peace be with you. My peace I give you." Because it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. You are going to find another pastor who will love you deeply. And you will love your new pastor deeply. And it won't mean that you're betraying Pastor Brad. Just means that you are entering a new season of your life here at Good Shepherd in Irving. We used to think about it, these pastor-congregation relationships, like a marriage. And in some ways they are. The problem with that kind of language, though, is that then it makes it feel like you just got a divorce. That's not a good image to think of. More appropriate to think of it as a season. As we are entering this Easter season, it wasn't just one Sunday. It's a whole season of hope. It's a season of new life. It's a season when we think about all of the things that God brings to us. And then we will have that time with the Pentecost Holy Spirit. And as we move into the Holy Spirit, then it's time to be thinking, where is the Spirit blowing us next? And who is the Spirit blowing this way? Because you know what? Even as God is preparing you for your new pastor, God is preparing your new pastor for you. And hopefully telling me who it is. That's my job. I get to be the one that looks at the gifts of the pastors who are available and the gifts that you are in search of. And to find what fits. So that, trying to get away from the matchmaking relationship terminology, maybe it's more appropriate to think of it as I'm looking for the one who will be good fertilizer for you to help you grow. I'm going to have to remember that one. I haven't used that before. Although I'm a farm girl, that could be taken a number of ways. Hopefully I'll find one that doesn't fertilize the wrong way. But we're always going to be trusting in God through this process. And you will not be alone. I'm going to be talking to your council a little bit today, hopefully at 2 after the Q&A time with the whole congregation, because I have some thoughts lined up. I have an interim pastor to talk to you about and some next steps to do. But either way, you're going to be okay. And you're going to find new life and you're going to find joy. But until that time, until you're ready, you are called to place yourself in God's hands. To enter into that woundedness of Jesus. And we are so blessed to be invited into his Spirit, to put ourselves in that place, and to find healing for our own lives, whether we're talking about the congregation or you personally. We are blessed that Jesus takes that all into his hands so that we can take our healing out into the world and see what we can do with that. Amen. We'll stand to sing our hymn of the day. With Christians everywhere by confessing our faith, and we will be using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son.
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, you speak peace in the presence of fear. Give us courage to testify to your grace with our lives. Embolden prophets, preachers, and teachers to speak your truth. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, you create peace in the midst of chaos. Where storms rage and winds howl, bring calm. protect people and animals from the dangers of weather, restore damaged lands and homes. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you are peace in a violent world. Heal neighborhoods ravaged by crime. Reconcile political factions at war. Build relationships where suspicion keeps us apart, and bring us to the day of unity. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you bring peace to a hurting world. Fill the stomachs of the hungry. Bind up the shattered. Give rest to the weary and hope to the disillusioned. Restore the sick, especially those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you breathe your spirit of peace into us. Enlivened by the Spirit, equip us to bring new life to all we meet in our work and in our play. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you are peace in this world and the next. Comfort all who mourn, especially the families of Virginia Morton and Gregory Dane, who died in the Lord this week. Hold them in your tender care. Bring us all around the table as we share the heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy.
We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet each other with God's peace.
Let us pray. Be known to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, as you were made known to the disciples. Receive these gifts and the offering of our lives, that we may be your risen body in the world.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of heaven to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through the same Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.